traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. This is Scott Miller coming to you live from Delray Beach, Florida, in beautiful Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village. Got a lot to talk about today. We're in full swing in the equestrian season. Everybody's looking forward to the spring and the summer shows and meets and racing, and it's going to be really interesting to see what happens. They said Tony Phil actually saw a shadow, so there's 6 more weeks of winter, they're telling us. But it hadn't been a bad winter, you know, for us too much, so, you know, we're looking forward to a good winter. What we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about a lot of things on two different areas, pretty much, and that's the show horse industry, and we're going to talk about thoroughbreds and how they get there for the 2023 Kentucky Derby. We're going to talk about the thoroughbred incentive program, what happens to horses after they get through racing and you know, where they go. And that's kind of exciting in itself, just what we're going to talk about there. But to show you, there's a lot of things out here that people don't really understand about the horse industry. It's getting better and better. We have the World Equestrian Center in Ocala. It's a phenomenal. It's the Disney World for the equestrian industry. Unbelievable what they have there. We have new owners at the Winter Equestrian Festival, WEF, at Wellington. We have Tryon in North Carolina that's going great guns. Parker, Colorado looks like they're going to have a good season. Thermal, California is having a good season. You know, it's just getting better and better, and show horse industry is increasing in size. And one of the reasons that they're increasing in size are things like we just said about Tryon, Wellington, you know, and the different show venues. They're getting better. It's more of an entertainment centers now, as well as, you know, equestrian competitions. For example, the Longines Global Champions Tour, that starts April 12th through the 15th in Miami Beach. Then they go to Mexico City, the 20th through the 23rd. So, you know, it's a worldwide phenomenon in the horse industry is. It's just unbelievable where they're showing and how they're showing. And we're now getting into the television, into the radio aspect of it. Radio is doing real good for the thoroughbreds. It's getting bigger and better every year. And so, you know, that's why we're getting into what we're getting into. And one of the things that I was just stunned by this morning when I got up and I checked my emails, we're looking at the Thoroughbred Incentive Program, which ties into the Show Horse Program. And so, you know, I'm aware of it, and I know people that are involved in it, and I was just taken back today about how many shows that they're getting ready to have across the country. You know, I looked at it. We've got 98 shows just here in Florida alone this year. In Maryland, we've got 121 in Maryland. You know, that's just amazing to see this kind of, you know, participation for horses that are coming off the track. And every year it gets bigger and better, and just, you know, you just can't explain it. You just cannot explain it. About the hundreds and hundreds and even thousands of horses that we have now in this program. And, you know, I was just talking the other day to some people here that normally are buying warm bloods. They're buying from all over the world, and they started getting into the thoroughbreds, and they found out that the thoroughbreds are really doing a good job, you know, on the show circuit. And the thing that, you know, they were complaining about is that when they go to a show, for example, they might have a thoroughbred incentive program, a tip program, or class that's there. And so, you know, I got to thinking, I said, you know, we need to start doing thoroughbred shows only, to where they're not competing against, you know, the general show horse population. Create their own niche. And that's what they've done. The Jockey Club Thoroughbred Incentive Program announced that it has approved more than 6,700 awards and classes at more than 1,400 shows in 43 states, including six Canadian provinces. That's an awful lot. That's 1,400 shows for the thoroughbreds, 43 states, and six Canadian provinces. It's just, you know, when you think about it, just think of all the people that are going to work that will be going to the, you know, through these tip shows. And it's expanding the show horse industry. They've got their own niche, the thoroughbreds do now. And so, you know, they don't have to get into the shows and get covered up or, you know, try to fit their ways in, because the show horse industry already has enough show horses, you know, on their own with USEF and FEI. And they're top quality everywhere you go, from the smallest to the biggest. And that's what we were looking at, you know, when we started talking about the TIP program and what happens to horses. And we'll go into that later on in the spring. We're following a couple of horses that have just recently retired from the racetrack, and they're going to go through the process of learning how to show the different lifestyle. It's a little bit slower pace, and it's hard for them to come down from being, you know, fit and ready to run, you know, races, into showing and relaxing, and they really enjoy it. And they really enjoy it. So we're going to be talking with a couple of riders and trainers that have given their horses over to the TIP program. And a lot of the big farms, the thoroughbred farms now, whenever they retire their horses, they retire them to good TIP programs. And some have even actually created stables for their thoroughbred farm on the show horse circuit. So we'll talk about that and everything. That'll be down the road when we get there. I want to get to something here real quick that we always have to think about is the weather. If you go to our website, ientv.org, you can see the weather channel, and you can stay up to date on all the weather all throughout the country and throughout the world, wherever you might be taking your horses to. And today, if you would have got on there, you could see that Aqueduct Racing has canceled their racing for February 3rd and 4th due to weather. The inclement conditions that they're going to have there, they're expecting high winds. They're expecting, actually 37-mile-an-hour winds is what they're saying. And the temperature is going to be between 0 and 10 degrees on Friday and Saturday. So, you know, we're taking the safety of the horses into consideration and all the people. And so Aqueduct has canceled their racing for Friday and Saturday, but they'll resume next week. So it's always safety first for the horses. Then we got to looking at today some things that that I was really amazed at. And we're going to announce this on next week's show. We have some people coming on that have developed quite a few things. They're equestrians. They're equestrians of all breeds. And they have developed a app that you can get. It's a computer program that you can list the information of your horses in, and you can what I like about it is specifically what we're going to talk about next week is the medication program. And you can do feed and you can do everything, but we're going to in particular talk about medication, because medication has become a real important part and become for a lot of trainers. A lot of trainers have gotten tested positive from certain medications, and you know, they thought that they were in the window that they could give the medication, and they weren't. Well, the app that we're talking about, what it will be is you put your information into the app, and then it tells you that you can give a certain medication so many hours away from the show or so many hours away from racing in order for you to be legal according to the state's regulations. And what I like about the app is you can go to each state and it tells you what is allowed and what isn't. It gives you the rules and regulations for that state, and you can put your information into it. And when the app kicks it back the information to you, you know exactly you know what time you can give the medication, how much you can give, what's allowed, what's not allowed. You know, and it, all these things are being looked at. And so far, FEI and USEF and the thoroughbred and standardbred industry have all seemed to accept it. And once we get the, or they get the approval on that, it's going to help the horsemen quite a bit. It's going to keep them in regulation and keep them in line. And it's just another way of policing the medication industry and the equine business. And that'll be nice because for many years we had a lot of people said, oh, well, you know, I thought, you know, or you know, the vet got the medication to us late, you know, that type of thing. And so that's what we're looking at is talking to the people that have developed the app and exactly what they do in the equine business. And it's cutting edge. You know, when you're talking about the show horse industry, the thoroughbred, the standard bred, the quarter horse industry, you're talking about a universal program that can fit any breed, kind of like we do here at the International Equine Network. We try to cover all breeds. And so I'm going to... Okay, just keep going. We're going to keep going here and doing what we can do, you know, here on here. So I'm excited about it. We're trying to do a little bit of everything here. So now we're going to start into our thoroughbred segment here. What we're doing is we're taking a look at things and why the thoroughbred business is gaining popularity more so than it has in the past. And I'm going to use Keeneland, the 2023 spring meet state schedule at Keeneland that we're going to be talking about. And they're bringing a lot of things to a short meet, limited meet that they had there. It's 30-day plus meet. And same as Saratoga and Del Mar. That's the way the trend is. Everything is trending back towards the meet. It's making the meet something, you know, special, making it a destination week. And for example, like at Keeneland this spring, when we get into the spring meet, we've got the 3-day Rolex, we've got polo, we've got all kinds of things going on at the Kentucky Horse Park in the month of April. And then we have Keeneland racing in the month of April. So, you know, you're looking at a great equestrian destination because you literally will be able to see any and all types of horse racing at Lexington in April and horse shows. And the reason that the quality of the horses are getting to the point that they're the best in the country going to these meets, and we're, like I said, we're taking Keeneland, for example. Keeneland, we have the $600,000 Central Bank Ashland Stakes. That's on April 7th. And then we have the $1 million Bluegrass Stakes. That's all on the 7th and 8th of April. You know, so it's a loaded program. And the whole Keeneland meet goes through there every weekend. You're looking at races that total, you know, $400,000 or $500,000. They're on the grass, they're on the dirt. You name it, they've got it. And that's what's making our industry go, because you're getting good quality races. And the quality races that you're getting draws the people. And when you draw the people, you draw the horses. And, you know, it's fantastic. The show horse industry is great. You can't beat it, you know. And you don't have to be a horse expert to watch it. It's good for the eye and everything. And we're going to ask, we got Arlie on with us, and we're going to ask her how she shows in the show horses and what got her into it and why we should come out and see her ride. Arlie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me.
Oh, good. Glad to have you. Well, how did you get into the show horse business?
Well, that's always a bit of a complicated question, and everybody's kind of got their background story. I started as a kid riding, local pony club, eventing, all that. And just as I grew, one thing led to another, and I got more into the bigger jumping. I really like jumping high, and I love the competition of the sport horse competition of jumpers. So that became my specialty. And I studied business in school, but I always kept riding. And I knew when I graduated from school that I was going to continue to ride and become professional. And that's where I am.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, when you were in school, where did you go to school at? Did they have an equine program?
They did. It was Michigan State. But to be honest, the equine program there is not like on par with the other NCAA sports. I did not ride in college. I just studied. Because I knew coming out of college I would go back to writing and becoming professional and starting to compete right. bigger and showing national and then international.
Right. Now, when's your next show? Are you traveling the United States or pretty much here in South Florida for the season?
For the winter, the biggest event in the world is in Wellington. So I spend the winter competing in Wellington. We have 3, 4, and 5-star shows here all winter. It's by far the biggest in the world. We get the best in the world here. We have top facilities here and spectators, everything here, all the infrastructure for it. So I stay here until the summer. I will go to Europe again in the summer.
Okay, now where do you ride at in Europe?
I base out of France near Paris, and we show mostly France, Belgium, Holland, a bit of Germany. It went to Slovakia, Switzerland, and Italy. And this year we'll go to London. We'll do England.
You get a few miles on under that saddle then, don't you?
You know, frequent riders.
what's the best competition that you've ever participated in?
That's also a tough question, because to say the best is it because of the facility, a little bit of my results always have a little bit of influence on what I think is my favorite competition. One of my favorites, though, has always been Paris. We do a show in Paris under the Eiffel Tower, and it's a really special show. You get the local, crowd that is, very horse savvy or horse friendly, I should say. And then the VIP tent is sort of like Wimbledon, the movie stars and all the people.
Right.
And that's a really special event. The people really, really like it. The stands are always packed. And it's right, in what is a very big world-renowned monument,
Right, right. Now, have you ever been involved with the Global Champions Tour?
Yes, the show we do in Paris is Global Champions Tour.
Mm-hmm. That's an amazing series of shows, and we're really working with that. And I worked out a deal that we can we'll broadcast their programming on our website and on our network. They're really great to work with, and unbelievable. That Miami show I've seen is just unbelievable.
Yeah, it's fantastic. We're going to do that show this year again. We have no complaints.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of our people that we try to get on the programming to watch us, they're not real horse educated. And I try to explain to a lot of them that you just don't take a show horse and go out and train, for 2 months, 3 months, or 6 months like a thoroughbred and then go race and show. It takes many years to build these horses up to where you're at with them. How long has it taken you and how old is your horse?
Oh, well, I ride several horses, in fact, but the horses usually peak, I would say, in our sport sometime around 12 to 15, if you see, top horses. They're usually ideally 12 to 15. Now, horses can peak earlier or later, but usually the 12 to 15 mark is a horse in the peak of their career. Because, show horses are different from the race horses in that the race horses race, they follow the race line, and they have to be the fastest thing on four legs, and they steer a bit different, like ours steer a bit different, you know. We have to be able to shorten, lengthen, bound and leap, sometimes come back, sometimes turn fast. The good thing about when you watch, like, the Wellington shows, also the Traverse City Great Lakes Equestrian Festival, they do a great show up there in the summertime here. I often participate in that as well. And the Global Champions Tour is that the announcers, the people that are doing the live streaming, the broadcasters for the live streaming, they're horse savvy, right, but they're also television savvy. So the way that they explain things as you're going, I have a lot of friends that don't ride, you know, aren't riders or horse people at all, but they like to watch, and they can understand a bit of how it goes from what the commentators are saying, you know.
That's what we're trying to do here, is educate people about the business and get them excited about it. And, you know, I'm out here at Sunshine Meadows Equestrian Village, and you know, I've seen you ride out here and the people that we have. And what I like about the industry is you know, as well as I do here, we have the little kids from, you know, 5-6 years old and up, you know, that are riding. And you know, that's what I get excited about, is to see the riders grow over the years. Now, was there anything, when did you realize that you wanted to do this, you know, for a living, as opposed to just recreational or as a hobby?
I mean, I've always been obsessed with horses. My parents were supportive in that they always said, chase your dreams and work hard, but they weren't supportive in the way of saying, we're going to buy you a horse, or things of that nature. So I knew if I wanted to ride, you know, they said, we encourage you to ride, to do what you can to ride. They're not horse people. But I knew I had to do something to be able to ride. So basically, I am professional so that I can ride. I've studied to become very good at it. I've worked in my younger years. I worked so much harder than I could ever imagine working now. You know, it's a different work ethic when you really need to make it. The horses don't know when there's a competition. They don't know when they're expensive. They don't know when they need shoes. They don't know any of that. You have to be responsible for all of that and how they're feeling and if they're nervous and if they're fit enough. I mean, we have to be conscious of all of that. So you have to learn to think like the horses do, to treat the horses like the athletes that they are. Sometimes it's backing off. Sometimes it's putting pressure. Sometimes it's training. Sometimes it's just going on a trail ride and having fun, which is a nice thing about Sunshine Meadows, where, you know, where you and I work, is that we have those trail networks and a track and places to work the horses, so they're not just bored in the show ring. You know, it's not always, the figure skaters don't always do their same exact routine. You know, they cross train and all of that, and they learn dance and choreography. The horses are a bit the same way for sport.
Well, Brandon got me in trouble today out here. We started redoing the water system for all the rings and for the Grand Prix rings and everything. So it was interesting, you know, to see what happened. And we do have a lot of people out here. Are you satisfied with training at any particular place? Like when you go to Paris, are the facilities like? Is it a big place?
Well, I have a business partner there that has his private farm. So it's very lovely, and it's huge. They actually also have trotters there at the farm. It's in Chamonix. It's really a well-known place for trotting horses. Also a big Euro track in the forest. The farm is huge. It's 100 stalls. We don't have many trotters there anymore, just some of his old family friends. But it's a fantastic place to work out of, a huge outdoor ring, a huge indoor ring. The main thing is always to have space to ride, you know, space to ride the horses.
Right.
The horses have big stalls. There's a lot of space to ride on the property and also off the property, which is nice.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that I flew horses for about 8 years all around the world. And it's kind of interesting, you know, to do. Now, when your horses leave here, do they adjust fairly quickly when they go back to Europe?
Yeah, they can get right at it pretty quickly. I usually give them a little bit of, you know, a week or two to acclimate before going to a competition. But if they had to step off the plane and go to a competition, they would be totally fine. They nine and a half times out of 10, they travel perfectly fine.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Well, you know, I hope we can have you on the show down the road some more, you know, and keep following you. We'll follow you through your, you know, your season, if you don't mind, and touch base with you every now and then. And do that because, you know, it's people like you that make Sunshine Meadows, you know, a good place to come to. And I don't know whether you realized it or not, but see, you're one of the people that have created here the path to the show rings. And like I always tell Trish and Jane and them, that's the path of past, present, and future champions that you guys are on. And you're one of the persons that have created all those here. You know, and we sure thank you for it. And everything.
Well, we really
and then there's
it.
One other question that I want to
yes,
know.
Sir.
I talked with Brandon on a couple of things, and we need to get a DJ for a show horse event we're going to have. Do you know where we could find one?
Yeah, myself and my boyfriend are both professional DJs.
Yeah, Brandon was telling me about that today and everything, and there's a lot more to you than meets the eye, that's for sure. So now, your worth to us is even more valuable, you know. Now, so do you get a lot of equestrian events that you do or anything?
Oh, my boyfriend does more because he's not a horse person. He's actually a very, very good IT guy. He really loves to do the DJ as well. So we've had a few shows that have asked me if it would be okay to call to spin there, and I said I can't because I'm showing and I'm traveling. But I said maybe he can. Yeah. So he went up to Traverse City for a few weeks in the fall. I know they wanted to come back this summer. So yeah, we definitely get a lot of requests for events. We've done a lot of charity events.
Do you do any DJing in Europe?
Not so much at the shows and stuff because I don't like to take my big equipment, you know, up there.
Uh-huh.
But we do everywhere we go. We do play a set. We have some people that follow us online on a platform called Twitch, and we've got about 500 people that follow us. So everywhere, if we're playing, we played in Switzerland when we were there for the week up in the mountains. So we put an ad out for the stream, and we had a bunch of people watching us do it there.
Right.
So yeah, when we travel, we do a little bit of that, but it's mostly on the live stream for our fans. And in Paris, I have some people that will come out for the stream, but it's a lot online.
Well, that's great. Well, what I'll do is I get a lot of people on my website and the radio show. It's growing, you know, potentially. But what I'll do is I'll put a link on my website, you know, so they can come to you and follow you and see all the things that you're doing. If you don't mind, we'll do that. I'll get with you and we'll do that.
Don't mind at all.
And everything.
Yeah.
But it's so good to have people like you out here. And that's what I tell Brandon and the owner here. I said, you know, we need to, you know our people. And I know a lot more about you, you know, out here now. And it really makes me feel good to know, you know, that we've got this kind of horse people out here. This is what the industry is all about, and I sure thank you for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Anything you guys need, you know where to find me.
Well, you got it. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, sir. You too. Take it easy.
Bye now.
Bye.
Okay, that was Arlie. Arlie's an excellent rider, and I must say she's a better person than she is a rider, and she's a great rider. So that just tells you the kind of people that we have here in the show industry and where they come from and what they do and how they do it, where they're going. So just tune in with us, and we'll keep you updated on what Arlie's doing and where she's winning at. We'll keep on that trail right there. Now we're going to jump back over to the thoroughbreds. And again, like Arlie was talking about Wellington and the shows and how they attract the big riders and everything there. Gulfstream Park just recently had a great weekend, January the 28th weekend that they had. And it was an amazing day there. It's the Pegasus Day. And it's just graded races after one after the other. A lot of money is being given away. And a lot of trainers point towards different things that they go for. For example, the biggest go-for, as we call it, are like the Keeneland Spring Meet, the Del Mar spring and fall meet. You look at Saratoga, their summer meet, the Churchill spring meet and fall meet. And then you look at the winter meets, and probably one of the best winter meets that you have is at Gulfstream Park in Santa Anita in California. And so Gulfstream starts off the season pretty good. A lot of trainers point for these races, and it kind of gets your horse schooled and educated on where he's at and where he's going and what he has to do. And it's a lot of money. And then that way that'll carry you right on through the summer up into the fall again. And so like at Gulfstream, on Saturday, the 28th of January, one of the races that they had was the Fred W. Hooper Stakes. It's going 1 mile on the dirt. It was a great race. It was $150,000 for four-year-olds and upwards. And it attracted a field of 13, and it was really good. Mike Maker won the race with Endorsed. He was a good horse and trained well over the fall and into the winter. So you know that really started kind of things off there. You know, Mike Maker's a great trainer. You know, he's everywhere now. He's getting better, better, and better. You know, so I just really, you know, admire these trainers, how they have to pre-plan everything. You know, and again, if we go back to our planning period, you know, like I'm always talking about, you know, when they get out here to, you know, to the horse business, and it takes a lot of wherewithal, as they say, and how to get, you know, a horse there. And it's kind of crazy, you know, to see all this. We had another Pegasus World Cup. It was a Philly and Mare Turf Invitational. It's a $500,000 race. It's going a mile and a 16th on the turf. Again, you know, you come back and look, had 11 horse field, and that's good when you start getting those big fields, because it makes it interesting for the viewers and for everybody to look at. And if you come to our website, you'll catch all the races that are going on, all the big races racing across America and throughout Europe. You'll see them all live on our website and everything. We give you the right link to it, and sometimes we'll have interviews with trainers and owners. We're stepping that up and everything, so it's good. But Thursdays are the days that we kind of start telling you about these things. This Philly and Turf Mare, 4-year-olds and up, going a mile and a 16th, let me tell you, it was a wicked race. I was really impressed with it. Michael McCarthy won the race, and he'd been training this horse all year long, got right into it, and she came up. It was... I tell you, I didn't think she was going to be that good. The Queen Goddess proved everybody different with Luis Saez. And when Saez came off of it, said she's ready to go. So we'll be seeing her later on in the meet again at Gulfstream, and we'll be seeing her for sure down at Keeneland and Churchill when everything comes along. You know, we'll have that, you know, on our programming. And then the one race that I was really just stunned. It just stunned me. And of course, it wasn't a big race. It was $1 million race. They were on the turf. They were going a mile and an eighth on the turf, and it was for 4-year-olds and upward. And this race, it's one of the races that I tell you, it could have been anybody in this race. There wasn't a horse in this race that couldn't win it. And Mike Maker, he won the race with a horse called Atone. Atone had trained good all year long, kind of hiding in the, you know, out here and there. But Mike got him there. And that was really a sight to behold, that race. I mean, the competition was evenly matched. And I was impressed. And it's hard to impress me a lot of times. And then we had down at Oaklawn Park. We had some good races there. And then we had, back to Gulfstream real quick, I forgot about this race. It was the $3 million Pegasus World Cup. It was going a mile and an eighth for four-year-olds and up. It was a $3 million purse. And this race, I tell you, there was no doubt in my mind about Billy Mott. Billy Mott had a horse in there that was just, I mean, this was a monster horse when you looked at him and you looked at his past and everything. Art Collector was his name. And he won the race by 4.5 lengths. And I was just really impressed. It's probably the best race I've seen in the last year. He just came from nowhere, and you'll be seeing him again here coming up, either Gulfstream or maybe going over to Dubai and see him. And also now we've kind of rambled over that and everything, stumbled over that and everything. So now we're getting into the real good stuff. We're getting into the how they get there. You know, the trainers that we're following on how they get there. It's about the 2023 Kentucky Derby that's coming up. You know, we're going to tell you exactly how these horses get to the Derby. And there's going to be a lot of information on there. You're going to go behind the scenes with the owners. You're going to go behind the scenes with the trainers, the feed companies, the transportation companies. You're going to see exactly what it's like to go on the backside and follow these horses around to the Kentucky Derby. It's just going to be an amazing documentary. And every week if you call in, you know, to our number, to the 323-744-4828, you know, we'll give a Kentucky Derby glass for the 2023 away to the first caller that calls in. And then that way they can participate and follow us all year long. So on how they get there, there's a series of Kentucky Derby prep races that they do so that you can qualify for the Kentucky Derby. It's the first Saturday in May. And it's just amazing that, you know, the amount of horses that are there. And right now we're currently following 39 different horses that are going through here to try to get to the Kentucky Derby. And there's a series of races that you have to go through, 26 in all, that you have to go through. And we've had quite a few of them already. So we're down to getting down to, you know, you got to start getting your points in now. And if you don't get your points in, then you might not get in the Derby. You might have a good horse, but if you don't have the horse, the points to get in, you're going to be in doggone trouble for sure, because they're not going to let anybody in without having the points. That's the point of that message and everything. So now we're going to talk about the Derby Dozen. The Derby Dozen comes out every week, and they kind of talk about the champions that passed races and who's won and everything. And right now at the top of the poll, we're looking at a horse named Forte. The owner is Repole Stable, and trainer is Todd Pletcher, and he's the one that we're following this year in our how they get there. We're focusing on him and what he's done and how he's done it over the years. He was Eclipse Trainer of the Year in 2022. He had three divisional champions that were Eclipse Award winner, and he earned $30.8 million over the year 2022, and had multiple stake wins and graded stake wins. He's just unbelievable. And already we're 30 days and you know, or so into the season here. And he's earned a million three, I think it is, so far this year that he's earned. And so he's consistent with what he does. But Forte has already scored 40 points. He's earned $1,544,000 for Todd. He's just right there. Instant Coffee has 32 points. Curly Jack has 17. Blazing Seven's got 16. And then there's a multitude of horses that are between 8 and 16 points, you know, coming into the Derby. And so you have to really start planning out where you're going with the horses, the races that you're going to run, and that's very important, you know, to do now. And like we were talking about before in previous shows, we're talking about all the things that go into it. You know, what the owner has to go through and trainer has to go through and what you got to think about and everything. And today was a good example of being prepared for what you need to do. Aqueduct Racetrack in New York has canceled racing for tomorrow and the next day. So now, you know, we're sitting here thinking like, oh, my goodness, you know, what's going to happen now with, you know, with the races that are coming up? And you know, you got to plan for it. You got to make adjustments. And that's what we're trying to, you know, figure out, you know, what we can do and how they can do it. Now, for example, Saturday, the 4th, we have cancellation at Aqueduct. And that cancellation has really thrown the points division and up because on the 4th, we were going to have the Wither Stakes, traditional race that's always run at Belmont, but it's at due to renovation of Belmont, they have to run it at Aqueduct. And now you've got six horses that aren't going to be able to run Saturday. They've been pointed towards this race to get Derby points, and now they can't run. The weather got them. The weather got them. So, you know, that's a mile and an eighth on the dirt, $250,000, and you're not going to get any Derby points. So now, you know, the trainer has to say, where am I going to go at next? So he's got to grab his sheet out and look and see where he can get them to and go from there. And it's all about everything. You know, you've always got to change something. A horse can get a foot bruise. He could get sick. The weather, like the weather's changed now. What are they going to do? You know, they're scrambling now because all the races that are set out from here until the Derby, which is, is literally 3 months away, for them, they got to change everything. And when you change everything, you get out of the rhythm and, you know, you don't know how the horse is going to deal with it. It's a tough start, you know, for them. And I guarantee you one thing. I bet you they wish that they were in the programs, in the races at Gulfstream and Santa Anita, because we know that it's going to be, good weather pretty much there. Rain you might have to deal with, but, you know, it's going to be pretty good. They have the $200,000 Robert B. Lewis Stakes at Santa Anita on the 4th. The post time will be 4 o'clock Eastern time. It's a $200,000 added going a mile and a 16th on the dirt. And this race is going to bring a lot of questions up. There's only four horses in the race, and they're all trained by Bob Baffert. And as you know, if you're a thoroughbred man and you're following the thoroughbred industry, now this is a Derby point race. Gains Derby points out of these four. But if you follow the industry and you follow the horses, you know that Bob Baffert's not going to be able to run in the 2023 Kentucky Derby. He's still under jurisdiction of a ruling from the court of a medication violation. And he will not be allowed to run in the 2023 Kentucky Derby. And he has to transfer all of his horses, owners, to other trainers by February 28th is what the last report that we had was. So it's going to be interesting. You know, what's going to happen with these horses? Are they going to continue training, on for the Kentucky Derby? Will they go to a new trainer? How's that going to work out? You know, you got four horses here that all have Derby points guaranteed. All you got to do is finish the race, and then they go from there. So that's another setback, you know, for an owner and his horse. What do you do? It's weather or is it the trainer? You know, it could be just about anything, but you have to incorporate it into all your contingency plans. And in the other race, I had three races coming up this weekend, is the Holy Bull Stakes. It's a $250,000 added at Gulfstream Park for three-year-olds, and they're going a mile and a 16th on the dirt. And they got a good field here for it. It's not too big, not too small. It's an eight-horse field. We got Billy Mott's got a real nice horse called Shadow Dragon in there. He's got another one called Rocket Can. You know, he's right on top of it. Billy's hitting his stride now, and he deserves it. He's a great horseman, first-class horseman all the way through. He's just really unbelievable, you know, what he does. And I like to see him, Billy, win a lot of races. But, you know, again, you know, we're looking at a nice race here, good weather. It's a good race for your horse. It's February 4th, and we're looking at 3 months away from the Kentucky Derby, and it's a Saturday race. So it falls right into the training, regiment that they have them in. Unlike at Aqueduct, your regiment has to change, and you got to start looking at races, you know, down the road and see where they're at. Another thing that we were talking about, you know, Forte's leading the race with the 40 points, and then Bob Baffert's got a horse, Arabian Knight. He's a great horse. He's really good. He's a $2.3 million purchase as a juvenile, and he's second in the Derby dozen. You know, but with Bob being in a situation that he's in, this horse is going to have to be transferred to another person if he wants to run him in the Derby. You know, and I don't see anybody not saying, "Oh, well, you know, I like my trainer more than I do going to the Derby." You know, that's not going to happen. You know, that's not going to happen. And also, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what's coming up with these horses. Coming down the road, we got like I said, those three coming up, and then we got every Saturday from here on out, we're going to have racing, you know, that have Derby implications. It's going to have a lot of excitement. You know, there's going to be a lot of shifting and moving around, and you know, you can go to our website and you can see you'll be able to see these three races Saturday, and then of course we always archive them and put them back for viewing during the week until next week, and then we change after that. So you know, I tell you, being in the horse business, you never do know what could happen. You know, you never know. And like for example, with Todd Pletcher, I've known Todd for a long time, and I worked with him back in 91, when he came into the Lucas stable. I was working for Dwayne Lucas. And so that's when I first got to meet Todd. And he comes from a good family. His dad, JJ, is really a good horseman. His mom, she's the best real estate agent in all of Ocala. Well, she can find you a horse farm or a house or an apartment or whatever you need anywhere. And if you're a horse person, she takes good care of you. But Todd's had 85 starts so far this year, in about 30 days. He's got 17 firsts, 12 seconds, and 13 thirds, and earned $1,134,000. I mean, that's just an unbelievable rate, you know, that he's on now. He got $30.8 million last year, and, you know, if you start to multiply it out, you know, over the next 12 months, you know, he's gonna be back up around 20 million, you know, or so, maybe even more. This year, like I said, he's 30.8, and that's the best he's done over the years since 2000. And I believe, let's see, what was it? It was 2006 and 2007. He had some pretty good years where he was up there, you know. But consistently, he's at right around $20 million a year, you know, in earnings. And he's won a lot of good races. And, you know, he's right at the top of it. And I tell you, you know, he could have two or three horses, you know, for the Derby this year. He's got some good horses that are coming a different route to the Derby. They're not like Forte that jumped in there and won the Jockey Club and won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He's just a whole different horse, Forte is. But Todd's got some good horses there that are going to be seasoned, and they're getting better as the year goes on. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what he has, you know, coming out of this. You know, it's going to be pretty interesting. But you stay in tune with us, you know, at our website, or, you know, every Thursday we'll keep you updated. And now we've got a big announcement here today. After 6 years, I finally decided the official RV for the International Equine Network. The International Equine Network has decided to go with the Keystone Montana 3740 FK fifth wheel. This is an unbelievable RV. It's got a front kitchen on it. And what I like about it is it separates the front kitchen from the living room area, where you have your slide outs, and you have couches, and you have theater seating, and the front kitchen has the dining up front in the front of it. And I really like that, because you've got a big glass window up there that you can look out, and while you're eating your meals and really enjoying it. And it's a good place to sit around and have coffee and this kind of thing. And you can actually work, up there on the table. It's really nice to have that. It's got a great bedroom in it. You can get a king size bed. Standard is a queen, but getting a king, because I'm a big guy and everything, and I need a lot of room. It's got a stackable washer and dryer. It's got a 48x30 shower in it with a seat in it. It's a separate room. It's got a closed door to it. It's got a good storage facility. It's got a good TV and a bedroom in there. It's just unbelievable. You know, I couldn't get more excited about anything than this. So that's the one that we decided to go with this year. We'll be having that, on display, hopefully by Derby time, if I can get my act together and get all the right sponsors that we have, because we're going to wrap that trailer with sponsorship on it and everything, because that's what everything's about now in the horse industry. If you look at the World Equestrian Center in Ocala, if you look at Tryon in North Carolina, you look at Wellington, you look out at Thermo, California, Parker, Colorado, Traverse City. It's all about sponsorships, and people are willing to sponsor it because it's such a huge industry, and you get a lot of people out there. And for example, like one of the people that I've been talking with is John Deere. John Deere makes a great product. That's what we use here at Sunshine Meadows for our big tractors down to our little to our little gators to get us around. And it's a great project that they have with everything you need. And the reason we go with John Deere is because everybody in the horse industry uses a John Deere product, or could use a John Deere product. And when I say that, I mean from weed eaters to small lawnmowers to, tractors that plow and till fields with and raise hay with, they've got everything there. You even got nice green John Deere hats that they'll give you, hopefully, if you buy something. So that's kind of like what the theme is here at the International Equine Network. We like to talk to people. We like to associate ourselves with people that cover the whole industry and just not part of it. And that's what I really like about what we're doing here. We go from the smallest shows to the biggest shows in the world. And so, we'd like for you to call us sometimes, 323-744-4828, or you can call me at 561-466-1272, and you can find out what we're all about. And remember, join us, and we'll have Arlie back on, and you can find out where she's going, if she's in Paris or if she's at Sunshine Meadows or if she's in Miami. You know, we'll let you know what's going on, and we'll stay in touch with her because she could be riding in Miami coming up here, you know, in April. So thanks for joining us this week. We appreciate Arlie calling. We appreciate everybody at BBS Radio taking care of us like they do, and stay in touch. This is Scott Miller. Looking forward to talking with somebody next week if you tune in.